This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to the Rainbow Report on action, that is, on taking action. Too often we ask, why doesn't the government do something? Why doesn't anyone do something, tackle this or that problem? But sometimes individuals decide they're going to be the ones to take action, and often with quite amazing results. The Age had an article this week, and they wrote about Catherine Reedy, saying she was so close to being one of those lost that it is chilling. Instead, she survived and has given our community a gift born of pain and decency and clarity. That gift is an education program to help students become informed about sexuality and sexual diversity, the myths and facts about same-sex attraction and transgender issues, homophobia, bullying and gender stereotypes. That's a huge thing for one person to have taken on, but small actions can add up. If enough people take them, and especially if they take them together, you can make a difference next Friday by joining in on Wear It Purple Day, wear something purple to support rainbow kids. Catherine Hudson is one of the founders, and she'll be joining us later. Now, Sesame Street's Bert and Ernie have long been the butt of gay jokes, if I may put it that way. But it's not a joke to one of my guests today, Lair Scott. He's started a petition to get Bert and Ernie out of the closet and into a marriage, which started off a worldwide news storm. He joins us to explain why he still doesn't find the idea funny. And finally, Professor Karen Phelps has been in the forefront of taking action for many years now. Her latest action was to join in the visit to Julia Gillard on Wednesday, the first time the Prime Minister has met GLBTI representatives officially. Now, as a change from his usual role on the end of my pointed questions and Rob Mitchell's pointed questions, Clem Newton Brown joins me in the studio today as my co-host. Hello, Clem.
Hi, Doug.
Looking forward to being on the asking side for a change.
Yes, I'm looking forward to having people ring in and having a go at grilling them rather than me being on the other end.
Now, Michael Short wrote in The Age this week, I quoted from him earlier on, since 2008 it's been mandatory to explain in sexual health classes why and how homophobia is destructive and demeaning. But many schools have struggled to even begin. Many young people have just had to keep struggling to survive, let alone flourish, in places often riddled with ignorance and persecution. He was writing about a new resource to help schools called Pridentity and the young woman who created it, and she's my first guest today. Welcome, Catherine Reedy.
Hi there.
Good afternoon. Now, that was a very, very big article in The Age. That must have made you very pleased to get that much publicity.
It was fantastic. I actually wrote to Michael explaining what my project was, and I was just listening to you describe about why people don't take action and why they do, and I felt that it was really important. If I wanted to get coverage, then I'd have to seek it myself. And lucky for me, Michael Short thought it was an article worth pursuing.
Well, I think it's an issue worth pursuing as well. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Catherine. What drove you to get involved in doing something like this?
So I came out at school. I was 14 and in year 9. People reacted to that in a mixed bag of ways. But what was really striking to me was the fact that for many young people around me, I was the only out person in the school, and therefore I became their source of information and support, when in fact it should have been the school who was playing that role, rather than a 14-year-old, you know, child.
Yeah, so that's a lot to land on you all of a sudden, isn't it? I mean, you must have had your own problems with coming out anyway.
Well, that's it. You know, you don't ever come out as a political gesture, or certainly that was not what my intention was. I was simply trying to
be
express
yourself.
My identity. Yeah.
And so, what happened to you? I mean, did you get bullied yourself?
I did. There was a mix of bullying. It was not so much overtly physical stuff. A lot of graffiti and vandalism, verbal. A lot of sexualized comments about what was I doing in bed. And, you know, I was 14, so the only thing I was doing in bed was sleeping. but But more so the reaction was very much around just curiosity, because at school at the time, none of our sexual health education addressed homophobia or homosexuality. So to have a visible out young person, I became a bit like the flavour of the week, because no one else was providing that information.
So you were a lightning rod for everything, weren't you?
Yeah.
You were a lightning rod for the people who needed support, and you were also a lightning rod for the people who were very much against what you were about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Catherine, do you think that you were bullied more because of your situation of being out, more than other people were bullied for other reasons, such as being fat or different in other ways?
I mean, I guess all adolescents and all young people face bullying at some point, but I think because of that particular difference and that particular way that being gay was such an alien notion, and also a notion that was so highly ridiculed, it did attract an extra level of bullying that I wouldn't have otherwise experienced.
Mm.
Now, did you suffer depression as a result of all this?
Certainly I did. I would attribute the homophobia and the bullying to being one factor. I wouldn't want to say that my entire, you know, depression career has been caused by homophobia, but certainly it was a factor. And those feelings of isolation and a feeling like no one around you is the same as you, during adolescence in particular, were a big deal.
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, I can remember that very well, of, you know, believing that I was the only one. And that's very hard to deal with. Anyway, you came through it, and now you have developed this thing called Pridentity. So explain to us what that is.
Sure. So after finishing school in 2006, I was happy that I had survived, but I was also quite aware that in my age group and in my social circle, there were 5 young people who had suicided in the period that I'd been in high school.
Ooh.
You know, and so that's about one a year for every year that I was out.
Ouch.
And that feeling that if we didn't do something, we were going to lose our young people. You know, we're losing our future prime ministers, parliamentarians,
that's a very high number.
It is, but it's not, when you look at the research, it's not unusual, you know. We don't talk about suicide a lot, and certainly schools don't talk about it a lot, because there's this fear that talking about it will encourage it, but I guess part of Pridentity was trying to dispel that myth. If we didn't talk about it, you know, it was going to keep going in the same fashion.
And Catherine, were all those 5 suicides, were they in the same situation of you? They were GLBT?
There was at least one link to sexual identity or homophobic bullying in all those cases. It wasn't maybe not the main factor, but it was certainly there.
Mm.
And in terms of
So overall, then, there was a lack of support generally for the kids at that school. It wasn't just GLBTI kids.
And it wasn't all the kids that suicided weren't all from that school. Certainly, they were from a broad number of schools. You know, this was the internet generation, and my social circle was very much centred around the internet. And I think that's pretty similar for a lot of queer kids. We get a lot of our support off the net, and similarly we form our social networks on the net. So in terms of doing something about it, I really wanted to approach it from a care and well-being perspective, rather than a kind of depression and and negativity. We already had enough of that in the media. I thought it was important that schools got on board in terms of just making sure school was a safe and welcoming and supportive place.
And Catherine, are you aware of the Safe Schools Coalition and the work that it does? And, and how does your program fit in with that?
Sure. Safe Schools Coalition was an absolutely fantastic initiative. You know, one can be cynical and say that Bronwyn Pike would have only funded it because she was worried about her seat in what was going to be a very highly contested election. But despite that, the work that they've managed to do and the reach that they have being a statewide service is fantastic. And what they've been really good at is talking to teachers and educating them, bringing them up to speed with what the issues are.
Yeah, well, certainly the Education Minister has seen this as being a very useful program, an effective program, and indeed with a bit of Doug's assistance and prodding along the way, we've managed to get a bit of funding to make sure that it continues.
Yeah, that's been fantastic to see that.
And so how does Pridentity fit with that? How does Pridentity work with
Safe schools.
So if you look at what Safe Schools is really good at, it's doing that teaching, the teacher training around what the issues are. But the next level below that, the really practical, hands-on, is what activities to use in the classroom, what lesson plans, how does it fit with the health curriculum? And I guess what Pridentity aims to do is say to teachers, you've been trained, you know what the issues are, here's a resource that removes those last remaining excuses. You can't say you don't know what to do because the policy's there, the training's there, and here's the resource.
Catherine, could I suggest that if you get in touch with me in the next few days, and I can refer you to the Mary Wooldridge's office, the minister who's looking at distributing, I think it's around $4 million of funds for mental health in relation to GLBT youth. I understand they're at the moment looking at how they're going to allocate that, and it may well be that your program can fit in with something that's already in the pipeline.
That would be absolutely fantastic, because we launched on Tuesday, and we could only afford to do a 200 copy print run, and already we've allocated at least 100 of those kits.
Yeah, well, give me a buzz and we'll see if we can link you up with the right people in the department.
Okay, I'll give you in touch and I'll give you claims numbers and everything, okay?
Fantastic.
Now, we're going to have to call it a day there because we haven't any more time, but I want to say congratulations on what you've done. Good luck with it in the future, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was Catherine Reedy there. What do you think? Give us a call, send us an SMS, or write me an email. Now, up next, you may not have the guts and determination to do something like Catherine has done, but every little helps. Like wearing something purple next Friday, as we find out next.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.